Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, on December 20th, Ottawa began phasing in a law that aims to eventually remove many single-use plastics from the market altogether. Now, the initial phase prohibits the manufacturing and import for sale of a range of single-use plastics. So that would include checkout bags like the ones used in grocery stores, cutlery such as forks, knives, and chopsticks, takeout containers made partially or fully from plastic, including styrofoam. Now, plastic ring carriers will be banned for manufacture and import for sale in June of 2023. Now, by December of 2023, by the end of this year, we will see a ban on the sale of all these products. In December of 2025, a ban on the manufacture, import, and export for sale of all these products will also come into effect. Now, you can only imagine what impact these new rules will have on the restaurant industry. Joining us now to discuss these new changes and the impact it'll have on the industry is Ian Tostenson. He's a president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. Happy New Year, Ian.
Happy New Year, Jazz. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hopefully the holidays treated you well, my friend. You got some time to rest and relax?
Yeah, it was good. It was a little different than the last 2.5 years. And it was calm, and our industry was busy, really busy, as a matter of fact, and there still continues to be a pent-up demand. We have a lot of places that are doing Christmas parties still in January because they couldn't get in December. So that's
really
good news.
Oh, yeah. That's really good news.
So we're really pleased about that.
And how about on the labor front? Are things improving slowly?
Well, it gets a little easier now until the spring.
Yeah.
Just because of demand, because we're going into our slow period, our siesta time. But not really. I mean, it's still a major problem. And the problem is, at the end of the day, the big picture is it's a demographic issue. Just don't have enough people in Canada. I see the federal government today was talking about record levels of immigration, and that's a good thing. But I'm still waiting to hear the provincial and federal government call labor shortage a crisis in Canada for all industries and have a strategy to deal with that, because I can't see a strategy right now. It's just kind of like everybody's sort of ducking it, and we've got to do it. That's the future. So, but you know, we have ways. We can our footprint in restaurants. We can shrink. We can play their menus a little bit, make it simpler. Make our menus simpler. So there's things that we can do to get through it. But when we do that, we're not maximizing the potential of the physical space and the opportunity in that restaurant. But we just keep working at it and chipping away, and we'll eventually get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's look at another immediate issue. It may not be an existential challenge, but it is one that is immediate, which is, of course, Ottawa wanting to phase in, obviously, a law that began on December 20th, but a lot of it is going to be phased in this year and next. And, of course, that's the import for sale of single-use plastics. How are restaurants, especially takeout facilities in your organization that you represent, how are they dealing with this phase-in and what they expect to occur in 2023?
Jazz, is so I've been thinking about how to explain this, because it really, you go down a rabbit hole when you start talking about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the first thing I'd say is on the big picture, there's sort of three themes on this. There's infrastructure, there's cost, and supply. So if you look at cost alone, so when you switch away from plastic and you move to biodegradable or compostable, which are different items, people think they're the same. The compostable will disintegrate in 90 days, and biodegradable could take up to 1,000 years. So, so the consumer needs to educate themselves a little bit about when they buy things, they'll say, oh, it's compostable or it's biodegradable. So that's the situation there. But a lot of the infrastructure can't handle it. So if you have a biodegradable plastic container and it's soiled, you can do nothing with it. Before we put it into the recycling, clean it, then it goes into the landfill. On the other problem with it is that there's no facilities really to deal with that particular product. So the infrastructure is not there to sort it and to put it in the proper way. So the governments are going to really have to step up, as opposed to imposing this kind of stuff. And it's imposing for good reason. We fully support the environmental side of this, but the governments have to provide the infrastructure. Like in Victoria, they brought in and said, oh, this is great packaging, we recommend this. And when they went down a little bit further and restaurants got into this particular packaging, which was, I think, compostable, they realized there wasn't the infrastructure there to process this stuff. So therefore, the packaging wasn't valid at this point. It will be in the future. The cost of it is 2 to 10 times, depending what it is. And so, then that's the supply side. So right now, if you move to, say, cardboard, you at the same time, you've got a lot of the mills that are shutting down and you're dealing with pulp. And so prices are going up and the availability is going down. So that becomes a challenge. And then you can switch to things like cornstarch and bamboo and mushrooms, and there's all sorts of alternatives. But you've got to go find that. And where we're seeing right now is the bigger restaurant groups, they have the infrastructure themselves to be able to sort this out, study it, and put in place the right things. It's the small restaurants, and in particular, I think, ethnic restaurants that are really going to struggle with this because they don't have, talk about labor shortages, they don't necessarily have the resources to go source this.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of complicated. A lot of the big companies, they have people dedicated to this. And so they're trying to find the right combination of the right packaging, the right cost, switching a lot of cases now away from plastic takeout to bags. And if you've ever been to a liquor store, they used to sell, you go buy wine in the bag, plastic bag is easy to carry. Now the bags, basically, you can't trust them. So there's a whole bunch of short-term changes we have to make as a society. And then I looked, Jazz, the thing I can just leave you on this one, or not mm-hmm. leave you, but just in Vancouver, I said, we're charging 25 cents for cups. What does that do? It just puts the price up. But why don't we work with industry and say, we've got a problem in Vancouver, we've got all these cups, they're plastic lines, so they can't be, recycled. Where are all the containers? Where's the program in Vancouver? Say, well, you're in Vancouver, please, deal with your coffee cups and these receptacles and stuff. And their answer was, well, it's really costly. But it's really costly for private industry and or the consumers. We need this bringing together government and industry, not just to work together, not just to be imposed on this stuff and try to figure it out, because we've been dealing with this stuff for 2 or 3 years, and honestly, we could have someone in our organization just on environmental stuff itself. It's so confusing.
Yeah, and partially, I think, as you say, the difference between recycling and compostable. I remember when I was in MLA, we were talking about those single-use coffee pods. Some of them were compostable. Others were just getting to the point where they'd be recyclable. They may not work within the system here in Metro Vancouver. That's part of the problem. We've got a sort of the regional approach to recycling, yet the legislation is provincial. So one hand isn't talking to the other hand, and that's part of the challenge. But I'm going to assume that the changes that are required, like the average consumer, our listeners, will perhaps see things a little different when it comes to forks and knives or takeout, whatever the product may be. This is slowly going to get implemented. People will see this when they go to their local favorite restaurant in regards to takeout.
Yeah, utensils have moved to wood, bamboo. I was talking to a restaurant this afternoon and said that it all works, except a lot of complaints about the spoons. They're not really spoons. They're almost like pitchforks.
Yeah.
Or pitch spoons, if you will. But the technology is coming. So, there's a race for technology to do the right thing. So this is not about me complaining we shouldn't do it. I'm absolutely, this is part of our brand and our responsibility. But when you have rising costs, I mean, Jeff was on earlier, my colleague, talking about the excise tax, right?
Yeah.
And adding 6% here and then, 10% to business here, ultimately the consumer pays for this. And so we need to be a bit more strategic about this versus being, a little bit philosophical. I mean, it's important. But I find that, like in Victoria, I've done a really good job. They said, we want to do this, we're going to do it a year from now. And that's the kind of bridges that we need to make the adjustments we need to sort of help industry get to where it is. But, we'll start to see it. And you're starting to see the conversion. Styrofoam, some places are exempted. For example, like hospitals are exempted from styrofoam because it's cheap. Water in a styrofoam cup. And same with butchers. When you buy meat, they're in a styrofoam base. So, we're early days in this kind of stuff. And I know we'll get there. And I know ultimately, Jazz, that, the visibility of restaurants is so immense that we have to, our responsibility in many cases is to set the tone here.
Yeah.
And to get people to understand and lead and stuff. And that's where government can really help us.
Ian, thanks for your time today, my friend.
Thanks, Jazz. Happy New Year.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.